Yeah, buddy, here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are in the midst of three live mics with Wolchuk, Chiafalo, and Broadus on the practice field. Take it away, boys.
All right, we just had Dak with a completion to Jalen Cropper over the middle. Now, Dak's been working under center quite a lot here, Brian. He's back in the shotgun now, might be changing some plays up. It looks like we've got a call from Cooper Beebe at the center, who's pointing out Jack Sanborn the mic at 57.
Yeah, they've been in a situation where they've run some double A-gap blitz. That's what we got last year, remember, from Mike Zimmer.
Yep.
And so they've been practicing that a little bit. That ball was a little bit low across the middle. Nice job by Elam of tracking Pickens. That ball, Dak tried to fire it into the middle of the teeth of the defense, and Pickens just could not adjust. It was on his shoe tops, but Elam was able to trail with it. But, yeah, get back to that double A-gap blitz. I think this is something that maybe Matt Eberflus saw on tape and understands that he wants to use it with Micah Parsons.
Yeah.
That possibility.
Let's go.
And so that's why I think that he's giving it a little, see how his defense is giving a little look in this nickel package. They're showing it here right now.
Yeah, they're Sanborn.
Yep, absolutely.
Three live mics brought to you by the On Time Experts, the official AC heating and plumbing partner of the Dallas Cowboys. Is that play happening?
Yeah, Dak now throwing to Kevontae Turpin, who makes an excellent adjustment along the sideline right up to the 20-yard line, was able to catch that in front of Kyer Elam, and that was a good throw, able to work back from the sideline there for Kevontae Turpin. Hey, I mean, this has been as advertised, Brian. It's been the Kevontae Turpin show early on with the ones.
Turpin has been outstanding, and the minute you think that he's really not a wide receiver, that he's kind of a gadget player, he goes and makes an adjusting catch. They put him in the backfield. You know, they've done a lot of different things with him through these five practices, and it's nice to see him catching the ball down the field.
It feels like, you know, a receiver that's headed for 75 targets or a dual threat running back or something. Like, what is the plan with Kevontae Turpin? Because this is like five or six targets so far just this afternoon, boys.
Yeah, I tell you what, it has been a show for him to make. But yeah, they're going to find ways to kind of make him get involved. He just, every time they hand him the damn ball, it's a 5, 6, 7 yard gain. I mean, he's just that quick, that explosive. So it's been pretty impressive. Now, nice day from him, what we've seen so far.
Be honest, Brian, do you think he can take that kind of punishment? I remember the concerns about Tony Pollard, and when they finally gave it to him, he did break.
No, I'll tell you what, I think this guy will be fine. I really do.
Nice.
I think he's one of these guys that has a feel for how to avoid and how not to take a big hit. And I think that's his background as a punt returner and as a kick returner. So anyway, hey, Zach, it looks like to me the next drill, you're going to have a better view. I'm going to have to move down a little bit because it looks like to me they're setting up cones where the end zone's going to be in my view. And then on the side over there, I think you're going to be able to pick things up. I'll try and get to a better position as we get going.
We just had an awesome rep right before they went ahead and changed up the team drill here. Tyler Guyton and Sam Williams. They had Sam Williams actually standing up over the guard, which was Tyler Smith, and then they had rushing on the opposite side as Araku. Then they stunt, and it was a great pickup by Tyler Guyton to acknowledge the shift, and he just pancakes Sam Williams at the play. What do you got, Eric?
Okay, Wolchuk said shift there with an F, just for the record. My favorite pancake was Tyler Smith burying Mozzie Smith 10 yards down the field on a run right there to the left side. That was probably my favorite. And the biggest standout to me so far, Elam had a really nice pass break up there on George Pickens. Turpin has been the most focal point of the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, you have him, the short, quick passing game, he's just an immediate 10 yards. And then you had one that was probably more about 15, 20 yards down on the right sideline. So Turpin has been the biggest standout to me in the last few minutes.
I love it, and I can't wait to see, you know, once we get to the regular season, if they can keep him that involved, because this team desperately needed speed last year, and I know you've added Pickens, and you're happy about that, but if you can just add a blinding ball carrier in Turpin with that and get him the ball, I think that could be dynamic. Guyton just had a nice rep against Ezeraku as well, so maybe it's starting to shape up to be a good Tyler Guyton day, and I wanted to get your thoughts on Kelvin Harmon, because about 5 minutes ago, Dak had an out to him that was secured with a diving catch on the sideline.
Yeah, this is really the first time, though, that in the six practices now that we've had where Harmon has shown up there. So good for him to get the opportunity when the ball came his way. You know, maybe he'll get some others. We'll see those types of players, those types of guys when we get to the preseason games, you know, and then it turns into the second half where those guys are out there running a ton of routes.
It could just be an equipment deal. Oso is just getting worked on right around midfield. It looked like his elbow. He's got a giant brace on his arm. And I don't know if that's something that he was just kind of banged up he came in with, but we'll see if he checks back into to the drills here.
Okay, who's winning, offense or defense overall today?
I would say if there were scoring at home, I would say that maybe the offense is probably having a little bit better of it right now. Just but like I say, there's been a couple of plays where this thing's probably pretty close, but I think when you start to talk about the downfield plays, some of the plays, I think Turpin's the one definitely carrying the day for the offense.
Are they going to Turpin because they don't want to turn it over? And they're like, the offensive coaches are like, guys, this got out of hand last week. Let's go ahead and button down and maybe check down a little bit
I
more.
I just think that Turpin's finding ways to get open. I think that's the biggest thing right now is that he's just been in a better position. His routes, I mean, he's been very, very difficult for the defenders to have to deal with his speed and quickness.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation's three live mics. What do you got, Wolchuk?
We got Turp lining up as the runner here, and this is going to be a 12 personnel. We got Scooney and Fergie both on your right side.
Play action.
Play action. Dak bootleg to the right, and he's going to go, and Jalen Tolbert drops the football.
Yeah.
It does not sound like, Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe yesterday Tolbert had a couple of moments, but has this been a struggle so far in
camp?
Well,
he had a couple of comeback plays that he was able to make down the field where he really drove Carson off. Those were some of the early practices, but when it's come to having to make adjusting catches, he had one that was high he needed to adjust on, didn't do that very well. But, by the way, too, Terrence Steele back in at right tackle. So I've just noticed that.
Okay, very good. Yes, totally shaking off the high ankle sprain. I think that's the quickest recovery I've ever heard. Hey, what more context can you give me on this Elam PBU of George Pickens? Is Elam like the player of camp so far?
He's a top five. If you start to talk about top five, Wolchuk, was that just
Steele.
Crack toss?
Yeah. Okay. And that was Steele getting out there in space, but a really good fill from Malik Hooker coming downhill to blow that up.
Okay, well then I noticed it looked like to me that they got Steele in space. But to answer your question, Dawson, if you had to say top five players at camp through the first five practices, Elam would be in your top five for sure.
I mean, it kind of seems like he's breaking out into solid starter territory, like the trade is exactly what he needed, just like Luka needed to get his body right.
Yeah, well, they've done a really good job. I mean, the big phrase that they're really talking about is this has been a change of scenery for the guy. You know, you had a general manager that drafted him, and then you had a head coach that wasn't interested in playing him. So that's kind of where you're at right now with all that.
That Lion King Rafiki Simba celebration.
Amazing moment.
Legendary stuff. We're going to be seeing that for a while, aren't we?
Yeah, absolutely. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun.
What's next over there, Wolchuk?
So Osa was just back out there for that rep, so I don't think we need to be worried about that. But that was just a pass intended for George Pickens. He ran an in and then out towards the sideline. Actually had quite a bit of cushion as Kyrie Elam was playing off coverage, but just an incompletion. Him and Dak couldn't connect on that.
Here's Mingo here outside at the wide receiver. They got Tolbert inside. Let's see if they find some kind of combination to get Mingo up the field.
That's a tight, condensed formation there, Brian. Oh, look, great route by Turpin over the middle.
Yeah, there
it was to Mingo.
Right there, yeah. Mingo, you kind of had a feeling that they maybe were setting something up where he was going to – he started up and then broke inside. Dak had his eyes looking to the left like he wanted to maybe throw the ball to Lamb, and then Mingo just kept running. And nice job. He was in Hall. Keenum Hall was in pursuit, but Mingo was able to get away from him and then make the reception.
Man, let's talk some Mingo because, you know, last week it looked like on social he was having a tremendous week. There were three or four contested catches, but you don't get to see the misses on social, right? Has the consistency been there playing and play out for Mingo?
Yeah, it has been really, really good from him. He's the thing that you know, you think kind of a big body guy and he's going to catch slants and inside breaking routes and stuff like that. But there were times where the ball got over the top, where he was able to get down the field, turn, and adjust to the ball. And you're kind of thinking, Well, that's pretty solid because, you know, I think a big guy like that wouldn't be that kind of athletic. But he was able to make a couple of adjusting plays last week, and it's nice to see him kind of get things going. I know there's a lot of people with eyes on him at this camp.
To the GBAC Nation, three live mics. Gavin Dawson here, tennis courts. Broadus, Wolchuk, Chiafalo down there. Guys.
Jadon Blue in the backfield right now. Let's see if we get some kind of running play here. Yeah, they're going to hand this thing off. And nice job by Ezeraku.
Yep, again, yeah, I mean, he is just working the left tackle right now.
Yeah.
Which I think was Nate Thomas
that's
over
Nate
there.
That's Nate Thomas.
He just couldn't get out of stance quick enough.
No, and that's the thing with Ezeraku. Mm. When you saw Blue, they handed Blue the ball, and he had an opportunity. Once he made the cut, well, Ezeraku was right there. But, yeah, Nate Thomas, the thing with Ezeraku is he plays this real wide technique, and he's able to close so much ground with how wide he is and then able to make the tackle. But
and
nice
his
job.
Bend. I mean, his bend, and saw that at BC during the draft show, Brian. Yeah. I mean, it is rare what he's able to do. But they're doing a lot. Hey, let's get Joe Milton in moving to his right side.
Yeah.
So they did some play action, the play before they ran it to Blue. There's another one that we just saw where Milton's trying to go out to his right. But again, it's just it's some accuracy issues there.
Yeah, that was Tolbert. That was a third down and looks like two, looking at the sticks. So that was just what they call sprint right option. And Milton just loaded up. They blocked everything back inside. He got to the edge and then fired it to Tolbert on the out for the first down.
Guys, how would you say Dak Prescott's doing overall this camp? I would say moving very well. I might be more confident in his movement than I've been at any point since the broken leg.
Yeah, I think there's been some deep ball shots that he would love to have back. And you know, that's the thing that we kind of, you know, focus. And, you know, Shotty was even talking about it, you know, in the that, hey, they need to find a way to get more of those to let Dak work on those. They're worried about the soft tissue injuries. But there's some deep shots that he has missed. There was a couple of shots that he missed yesterday that were high. But overall, I think the movement aspect has been, as you said, really the most positive thing about him right now.
They're working more on the passing game than the run game today?
It looks like to me a lot more throwing the football. Mm-hmm. They're in that, I think, Wolchuk, can you see the sticks down on your end down there? Are they working on third down is what they've got?
I think yes. I think that is exactly what we're doing.
Okay. So this, yeah, it's... The last run we saw was the one where Ezeraku was stepped up and made the play. Oh, here's a RPO, and he just Dak handed it inside. So they're just trying to pick up the first down there. This is the simple run, only gained a couple of yards. So good job by the middle of the Dallas defense. That's with Mozzie Smith and Sanborn and those guys stepping up and not getting worked out of there.
How's the follow-through been with shifts and motions and bunches and stacks and deception? It's all there for Shotty, isn't it?
Yeah, he's tried. I mean, and like I said earlier, it's exchange two. It's bring two right to left, and then it's a motion, and it's another motion behind that. So, you know, stacking motions on top of motions is something he's trying to work on. Again, I feel like that's kind of that San Francisco 49er way of doing things where you just keep, you know, you think it's stopped and then here comes another motion. But they're trying to get as many bodies to the point of attack as they can, especially running the football.
I just love some of these highlights where the defender's like, it's a run. Oh, no, it's a pass. Oh, no, it's a run. And
that's a good play by Hooker right
Steele
there.
Steele was working again on Sam Williams, and Steele did an excellent job just creating enough room for Dak to be able to step up, extend the play, and then he tried to rifle one. I think it was to Scooney, unfortunately not able to connect, but that was a good rep by Steele against Sam Williams.
Yeah, I don't know if that was Scooney or was that Ferguson that he threw it to. It was a tight end that he threw it to.
I know Scooney was on this right side.
Yeah, okay, but Hooker made the play is what he does. That was good tight coverage.
Yeah, Hooker's had a good practice.
Good tight coverage by him on that particular play.
All righty, boys. It's the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Practice going to go a little bit longer today, it's looking like, huh?
Well, Shotty told us it was going to be an hour 45. So as I look at the big clock, he's into period 7. And he's underneath 4 minutes for the next period. So this will probably be the last one that we I think there might be a couple more periods, but that right now, this like the team period that we're getting the most out of is this one right now.
Oh, I love it. We are going to get George Pickens on immediately following practice today. They're going to bring him up to our broadcast position. We'll talk to the Cowboys' first-year a wide receiver after trading for him in the offseason for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But lots of good stuff happening on Cowboys Twitter. You can follow us at 105.3 The Fan. And Carter Freeman's doing a heck of a job getting plays up, getting clips from interviews and clips from our show. Of course, Dallas Fan Cam on YouTube as well. Anything else to add, boys, before we send it to break?
Here's a deep ball, Dak to Pickens, and they connect for a touchdown. That was a beautiful throw, dropping it into a bucket from Dak.
Let's go. How long?
Yeah, that thing was probably, what is that? He threw from the 30.
Right around, probably 65.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, though, it would have been really, really close because Ezeroco had won around the left end. So,
they might have had a hold there on the right tackle.
Yeah, I think that would have been really, really close. But good pass by Dak. We talked about the deep ball, and that thing was perfectly thrown. It was on Izzy McQuamu was playing corner at that time. Pickens was able to separate from him and make the play.
All right, our training camp coverage brought to you by the on-time experts, by Rhino Shield and Yardbird Southern Table and Bar. And we're back with more Cowboys training camp coverage and George Pickens here in the Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. There goes Sean and RJ through the tennis courts as Cowboys practice is concluding. We're going to have George Pickens here at the broadcast position here in just a few minutes. Let's do some C-note here, Cowboys news of the evening. Very eventful weekend of news. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Would you like to grab a headset shop and talk some Cowboys football with us? That would be fun. In his epic good baseball shirt once again, how to bunt, number one, don't, number two, hit a dinger. I love it. Okay, what stuck out to you here? Kevontae Turpin, dude, what's the plan with this guy?
Oh, man, you had to ask me football questions? I'm about to look at the quarterbacks.
Okay.
I'm about to. You brought us nose. I don't.
Where do you come out on the Joe Milton debate, if there is still one?
In terms of?
Is he a good backup option?
Oh,
is he a possible starter?
No, I mean, not right now. I don't think he's a possible starter. I love Joe Milton. I'm not going to say a bad word about Joe Milton. He's my guy. He's my guy. So, at this point, because you've seen the whole time, compared to Trey Lance last year,
sure.
It seems when there's no coverage, he's at least on target. I just don't know that Joe processes the game at the speed that you want an NFL quarterback to process.
A lot of running, a lot of scrambling.
You see him scramble out there a lot. That can't be. Coaches can't like that.
No, it's just one of those things that, you know, it's you probably would like for him to, like, read it, throw it, you know, but he's maybe trying. I mean, he makes some incredible throws.
That play also, out there, that deep pass over the middle, yeah. I mean, he had to scramble a little bit.
Yeah.
He's probably sacked in a regular game. He probably could have thrown it earlier.
Right.
But he made a throw that nobody makes.
Right. That's Joe Milton in a nutshell. Yeah. He's gonna not see it cleanly, but he's going to have an idea that the route might end up here, and he's going to try and throw it. He's the one guy that's willing to throw the ball down the field. I mean, and Dak is a little bit more like, I'm going to try and hit, you know, the crossers and stuff like that. He's going to try and do that. Joe is going to try and make the wild-ass big play.
But to answer your Turpin question, I mean, you got to find a way to get the ball in his hand.
They were doing that a lot today. I mean, I don't know how many touches he had, but he had to lead all skill players, maybe doubled the second closest guy. Okay, you thinking baseball? Is that what's going on with you here with the deadline? Are the Rangers rolling?
We are, but the problem is now, Class A.
He's in some trouble.
He screwed up the entire deadline because, I mean, he was the guy that everybody was going to go after. Rangers included were probably trying to, you know, at least kind of, you know, make a phone call or two. And then he gets popped for gambling, or maybe not. But certainly they're not going to have this figured out by the deadline. It's in 3 days.
Needs an interpreter to come to the rescue.
That screws everything up. That screws not just for the Rangers, for the whole sport. I mean, it brings the whole sport really to a crawl.
I mean, you already had too many teams needing relievers. Now you take the best one out of there, and everything's got to come down a peg. And, you know, I do have faith, though, that the Rangers are close and that they got a plan to have the other team eat salary to get good players again. So I think you see why he's coming up with us in an hour. I think he's loading up right now. He's going to do some big stuff.
Look, I mean, Bednar, Jacks, Duran. I mean, Class A was one of them, but, I mean, those are your relievers that are going to be available. And, you know, there may be some starters available, but they don't really need it. They need bullpen help. You know, I mean, they're back in the bullpen. The bullpen's been good. I mean, it's like, what, third or fourth in ERA and bullpen ERA. But nobody trusts anybody in the ninth inning. And you're not going to have Martin until August, maybe even September. You've got to find a way to get somebody because run prevention is probably where this team is.
I'm just glad to see you've been relieved from your ceviche bubble guts, man. Seriously.
Dude, that was awful.
I was feeling for you last night.
That was awful. I had fish tacos and then ceviche. And I think, and Sean had fish tacos, so it had to be the ceviche, but I went home. As soon as we, and I was hoping that you didn't pick up on that because you were sitting next to me and I ripped one. and it was like, it was almost gag worthy.
We had the ocean breeze.
Wow. The ocean breeze. And you can always blame it on a seal. I mean, there's errant seal farts that are out there.
Man, we ran into the seals last night at the Rudder Room. That was pretty amazing.
I heard.
They were barking at us.
I
saw that on social. That was cool.
One almost took a bite out of you there, Eric.
Yeah, I was trying to go get a sneak a little like video or whatever. I thought it was sleeping. But it was sleeping with one eye open.
That dude looked battle tested too.
Oh,
I wouldn't mess with him.
Yeah, you know? He was the alpha. He was barking off other sea lions that were trying to get up in there. So that was a good time.
Nice.
Almost as good as you wanting to come in here and just lay down the sword.
Yeah,
right?
I wanted to call a ceasefire. I wanted to get down here in the
in the trenches.
I was gonna get like a dog and just lay on the ground, feet up, surrendering, just like a ceasefire.
And then we get to go full Christian Wilkins on you.
I mean, you want, yes, absolutely.
What do we tickle? I call the toes.
What are you going to tickle? Yeah. Tickle whatever you want.
I'm not might very need some ticklish. Rubber gloves and hand sanitizer.
I'm not very ticklish, but if you want to tickle something, I mean, you can tickle away.
A little tickle.
But yes, I wanted to call the ceasefire.
Reason why you guys want to surrender?
Reason why?
Yeah.
I don't know if there's actually a reason. Yeah, okay. I'm just sick
it's
of
just the goodness of your
I've
own heart.
I've got to keep coming up with new things, and I can't. I'm running out of material.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Is it because Sean's doing that, T? Do you feel like you need to surrender because your own teammates are becoming unbearable?
No, it's no. They have already called off. All right. Now I feel like I can't continue this. Yeah. If they're going to call off, I can't be the only one out there because now I look like the bad guy. And my whole thing is likability. That's all I have. I don't have talent. Right. I don't have anything else.
Well,
so I've got to thank you. Yeah. I've got to be somewhat likable and, you know. I can't go after Eric.
No, see, it makes because you have. You've been calling me out for my T levels post haircut.
Yeah,
I'm not the same.
Not
you know,
the same.
Just saying,
not the same. You're Samson.
I've changed. Yeah, my strength is no longer a strength. It's become a weakness. But this is good. This is good because at like 5:30 a.m. Pacific time, you were singing a different tune. You've since seen the light.
I reserve the right to change my mind between 5:30 and now, and I have.
Yes.
So at that 1:30 or whatever it is, ceasefire.
Man, I'm conflicted on this because I thought you've had the best punchlines of the bit.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you know, listening back, I'm like, man, more chop. This is great.
He's run out of material.
Well,
that's
what
he's saying.
If you want, I can still. My plan was this week I was going to ask every guest, have you had a brisket sando yet?
See, and you got to keep that one alive.
I might do that one.
How many brisket sandos are you in right now?
keep that alive.
Jeez.
That alive. I mean.
Were you listening to that live, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where it was. It was like Kennedy assassination, OJ car chase, and where I was during the Rowdy Tellez interview. I was at Davis and 114 at the stoplight. And, it was the second. It was the how many brisket sandos he had. I was like, oh, my God. It's
here we go.
Here we go. It's starting early.
yeah, because he was Choppy was dunking on our professionalism, I think, and our general prep,
which is relatively fair. I knew immediately, man, because he was about 7 minutes late.
Yeah.
Right? You guys didn't get to him about 48 after. And I was like, you know what?
Actually, 27 minutes late. But
27?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Because that was the expressway.
Yeah.
Well, he was supposed to hit us at 3:20. And then it was like, oh, it'll be 3:40. Okay. And then it ends up being 3:48. Right.
So I was like, man, you know what?
Fine.
They found out last segment because it sounded like, you. I think it was you had a question. I was like, man, he's reading from Wikipedia.
Yeah.
They just found out. They just found out about this.
Little ChatGPT.
So I see you're from California here. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
what type of
straight off Wiki?
What type of hard hitting brain busters do you have for old Jake Ferguson, dude? You can ask him about his girlfriend and stuff or
actually,
fiance.
I was going to say, how does it feel to finally make more money than your girlfriend?
Oh, because she's bringing it in.
He got there finally.
I think so, right?
Yeah, 13 should do it.
Or like smart enough that. You know, you signed this deal before you got married.
I don't know. She might make more than 13.
That Instagram money can be big.
Yeah, with everything she does, she might be making good scratch.
It's a heck of a power couple, whatever the case. I'm excited about that. I enjoyed the Kyrie Elam, though.
We were planning on that one. Not really. We were planning on Jake, and then like this morning I woke up and I saw because I went to bed with the bubble guts by about 8:40, and I woke up to the news that we had Kyrie instead because we thought we had Jake Ferguson all night. But yeah, he was cool. Now, you know, obviously Florida Gator, that's a problem for me right off the bat. But
you hate Alabama people more at Tennessee than Florida, don't you?
See, now they do.
Okay.
You had a good point, though, because it was Florida versus Tennessee.
It was Florida versus us the entire
time. When you were in
school. So I think it's like, you know, when you're there.
Uh-huh.
So who was LSU's biggest rival when you were there? Was it still Ole Miss?
Well, Ole Miss wasn't very good.
See, that's what I was there.
And Alabama owned us.
And Alabama wasn't very good when I was at Tennessee. So it was like, it wasn't really a thing.
Yeah. Florida was probably pretty intense for us.
Yeah.
How about Kentucky? Does that register at all?
Didn't you guys play for the Whiskey Barrel or something?
The old, it wasn't the old Oaken Bucket. That's
Indiana Purdue.
It's the old Whiskey Barrel. Whiskey Keg. But no, basketball. Because Big Blue Nation travels well. So they used to take over our basketball arena when I was there. They still do. They still do a good job.
Yeah.
So you would take that angst from one sport and transfer it to another?
No. So I didn't. Kentucky football didn't bother me.
Okay.
Because we always beat them. Yeah. Bama basketball never bothered me, or Florida basketball. But, yeah, football, obviously, you get the angst just from year to year.
We did just get some bad news on Tyler Guyton. I guess he went down and is going straight to the locker room. So, man, let's hope that that's nothing serious.
Jeez.
Yeah, I got a text that said, what's wrong with Guyton, and I didn't have a chance to answer it yet. So
he is walking off under his own power. But
okay.
Yeah.
I would say I've seen enough. Let's scrap this thing. We'll play golf over here the rest of the week. I mean, it's a good day for a day off, isn't it?
That's tomorrow.
No more pads. No more physicality.
Might go play some golf tomorrow.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, after the show.
Ohio?
You got a course out here?
Las Posas? Posas? However you say that?
You need to go up to Ohio and play.
I did. I played at that the hotel.
Yeah.
The Ojai Inn Valley or whatever it is. That was great.
Nice place.
Yeah, that was super nice.
Track.
Yeah.
So here's the deal with, you know, the ceasefire is I do feel like maybe you guys said this morning that you had to do it because you thought we were too sensitive and couldn't handle it.
Sean was definitely preaching that.
You know, I so that's when like the apology doesn't seem genuine, you know?
I understand.
I suggested in the crosstalk maybe no sword needs to be laid down. Maybe no knee needs to be bent. But, you know, we could just, you know, just move on.
Right. Yeah. Look, I got we got a Ferguson interview to do.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I'm getting the phone call. I'm getting the call.
Brisket Sandoz.
Hey, tell him we said congratulations.
So you're saying no knees bent?
No knees bent. No. No need to apologize or any of that crap.
Just a pound.
You know, just
there we go.
I'll see you next time, bro.
I'll see you in Oxnard, sir.
There he goes. RJ Choppy.
Right. Pound it.
The
pound
great RJ from the Sean and RJ Show, 6 to 10 weekday mornings here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to get George Pickens, so I think we need to step aside real quick, come back, get ready to talk to number 3 GP here in the G-Bag Nation. Thank you very much, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan, and we're standing by now for George Pickens. The Cowboys wide receiver is going to be on the hot seat here live from training camp in just a moment. Before we get there, let's do a little bit of Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. If I could just hold it for a second, Brian.
Sure.
Our injury updates brought to you by Greystone Roofing. They've got you covered when the hits keep coming, and we're waiting for news on Tyler Guyton.
Yeah, that's where I started during the break. I tried to reach out, and I don't know how much they'll know right off the rip. You know, sometimes they have to get the player into the locker room, take the pads off, and then kind of figure out, you know, with the medical staff where we're at. So hopefully everything's okay. I didn't see him walking off myself. Willie, did you?
Yeah, there was video of him walking off. Micah was actually with him as he was going off with trainers. But it did look like he was walking off under his own power, but he just went straight to the locker room.
Well, so hopefully all the news is good about that. That would be unfortunate. I'm going to tell you what, guys, and if you know, just a little time I had before George comes, this guy has, when you watch him practice, and remember we were listening to him talk about how last year he was disappointed and he kind of felt like that he was you know, that he didn't play his best, and it was kind of a self-reflection of, but man, I'll tell you what, he has done a really nice job of coming into this camp and like challenging himself, but being able to, and it hasn't always been perfect, but last year to me, watching him play, every play was like a fight of survival. And I mean that fight of survival because his feet were bad, his hands were bad, his body position was bad. Everything was, you know, grab, hold on, hope for the best, you know, hope I don't get a call against me, you know, guessing where the defender, getting broken down and all that. I have not seen him. Now, I take this back. There's been some times where, and Ezeraku has done a really good job against both. Any tackle that he's gone against, he's been the one guy, him and Fowler. But when you start to talk about, okay, say a Sam Williams, and I mentioned Sam Williams earlier, like a matchup with him or Fowler, it's been pretty even. You know, it's been pretty even, that and Fowler being a double-digit sack guy in the NFL, where Tyler Guyton has been able to kind of hold his own against that type of rusher.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is really, really encouraging. That you know, you do see the footwork, the body control, the balance, the hands. You know, even off the side when they're working, he does look like a player that's completely frustrated. I went down there a couple days ago and watched the offensive lineman work, and he doesn't look like a guy that's down. Mm-hmm. I mean, he doesn't look like beat down, that, oh, damn, here I go again. I can't, you know, and like he's hating practice and all that. So,
yeah,
part of it's been very encouraging to me.
And I think, you know, this coaching staff's done an amazing job putting him in the right mental space, yeah, because you could be really down on yourself if you had the bad reps that he'd had last year and continues to have this year. Like,
right,
we're seeing good ones, but we're also seeing bad. It's just more of the good is starting to show up. And there's the reaching over and the bending plays and trying, yeah, to headbutt everybody. But like every other time, the feet are slid, he's, yeah, inside the frame, and he's, you know, holding the guy up nicely. So I've been encouraged, and I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that he's going to be able to keep going.
I feel like, Zach, you have anything? I mean,
I thought today was a really good day for him.
Yeah.
And I mean, trying to watch him, he absolutely was great against Sam Williams.
Yeah.
Donovan Ezeraku, you could see the first step quickness that obviously he has. That is challenging.
Right.
But I thought he did a good job resetting, you know, even if he's getting pushed back, opening up a step up lane for Dak at times. So I think you definitely see a jump. And you talked about comfortability, but just, yeah, overall confidence, and in terms of just marrying the hands and the feet. I think all of that is taking a nice step in the right direction for Guyton, and hopefully this injury isn't something serious.
I will say this, though. I'm encouraged by what I've seen from him. And so I want to add into about with the span forward, and just my thought about him. You know, he's going to be out for a couple weeks. I think Span Ford's got the second tight end job, just from what I've seen at practice. I don't know if Schoonmaker can do some things, but I think that when we went into this camp, that the front office and the coaching staff, they probably had Span Ford ahead of Schoonmaker. You know, and now
he's got these catches that he'd added over the weekend.
I don't think that's changed. I really don't think that's changed. I don't think that's been, you know, when they get into a situation where when he comes back, Schoonmaker has had a really good camp at times. And that position has been kind of surprising to me,
mm-hmm,
you know. And, you know, the tight end position. And today we saw a little bit, and I know I mentioned Span Ford, but we saw, you know, John Stevens. And they talked about him getting some work and, you know, like,
he doesn't look the same.
He doesn't look the same player. I think the two knee injuries have really shook in his confidence. You know, he had a couple of drops, yeah, out here today that, you know, those were balls 2 years ago that he was catching, and we were all oohing and aahing about him. So I think this is going to be three tight ends and then Hunter Lipke. I don't think, you know, they might keep one on the practice squad. They like Stevens and all that. I don't think this is going to be one of those positions that they're going to be able to carry a fourth guy.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the three, and then we'll see how they use Hunter Lipke.
Shouldn't you trade Scooney right now then?
I think Scooney's the third.
Okay.
I think Scooney's the third. I wouldn't I don't think particularly that with Fairweather or any other. I don't, like I say, it's interesting because what they do is when they work with the tight ends with the offensive line, and I haven't seen this before, but there's like Fairweather, Neville, and Stevens don't go work with the offensive line. Mm. Like all the other tight ends go and work, and those young guys stay with a coach, not Lunda Wells, like an assistant, and they kind of work on their own drills. It's kind of like I don't know if they feel like that. Are these move guys? Are these just pass receivers?
Right.
Do they not fit in? But I don't know how you're going to play preseason games and not have to play with these guys. But they are not getting reps when they go individual. They're not getting reps with the offensive line. So I don't quite know how that's all going to play out for some of these guys. But again, the tight ends, that's where we're kind of talking about like this. I'll say this too, just observation and practices so far. I threw a lot of dirt on Miles Sanders. I thought he was done.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like what, but he and when you talk about him and Blue, there and even Deuce Vaughn, and you know, Vach Lombardi and I were talking about this, and he made the point, and I totally agree with him on this. Vaughn being hurt now, that he can't afford to be hurt. You can't afford to be hurt when guys like Blue and Sanders, they love Williams, you know?
Yeah.
You can't if Deuce Vaughn was going to make this team, and he's like telling everybody like, oh well, hey, it's not as bad as the hamstring. Bro, you're missing practices.
Yeah, he's not in a position to be able to miss any time.
Yeah, he's not.
Absolutely not.
But I'd
love to hear that about Sanders, though.
I was just where watching five practices and seeing stuff today, he is the one guy that I feel like that him and Blue can hand the ball to, and there's going to be somewhat of an explosive play.
Yeah.
And maybe this is what Sanders needed. Maybe he needed to get away from Philadelphia. Maybe he needed to get away from Carolina, where running backs go to die, and then come here where I didn't think it was a good move to begin with. I admit that right now through six practices, he looks like a guy that you can hand him the ball, and if they're going to run power gap inside stuff, he's capable of being that back.
How do you reconcile all of that with Javonte Williams being the best pass protector in that group?
Yeah, but if they're going to be committed to, like, if it's going to turn into a 60-40, if it's going to turn into 60-40 run over pass, you know, if it's not as balanced as we think, and it turns in, are you really going to need Williams if you're running the ball that much?
Yeah, I mean, at some level, there's going to be moments where you have an obvious passing situation,
yeah,
and you're going to want somebody in there that you either trust to catch the ball or to protect. So I think there's still going to be
Williamson maybe becomes the third down back,
yeah,
and then it turns into Sanders and Blue as the primary carriers, and then Williams is just your third down blitz pickup guy.
That's the ideal scenario.
Yeah.
That's the ideal. I mean, I guess the ideal scenario is that, like, Blue could be a really good pass protector, and then all of a sudden you just have him and Sanders. But I think that was the vision when they brought in Javonte Williams as a guy who can protect and then catch the ball a little bit. But just knowing that Sanders may still have a little something left, plus Blue, who's, I mean, had a great first week of camp from everything that we saw, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's super encouraging when you factor in that we're all pretty confident that the offensive line is going to be respectable.
Do they ever give us a chance here? Do they have, like, back versus linebacker type of pass pro
drills?
I haven't
seen any of that yet. I mean, he's
so committed to 11-on-11, he won't give us a single second of one-on-one.
And I don't mind that at all.
Yeah, he is all about 11-on-11 football. And I don't think he's trying to reinvent the wheel here. I just think that he has had his day of 9-on-7s and 1-on-1s. I was watching Kansas City. I was watching our guy at our tackle from Ohio State.
Josh Simmons.
I was watching him on some of the stuff that that they were showing Kansas City. Andy was doing one-on-ones, and they were doing one-on-ones with receivers. I don't think this guy – there used to be a time with Mike McCarthy. I didn't think Mike McCarthy wanted to embarrass his guys.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this guy just doesn't want to do it because he wants to be able to run more plays playing 11 on 11 football.
I mean, all the one-on-one and stretching stuff they do, guys can do that on their own. And if you're really committed to chasing a bag in an NFL career, you're doing all that stuff on your own. The one thing you cannot replicate anywhere else but practice is the team dynamics and trying to get everybody on the same page. Communication, coordination. Mm-hmm. Like, you can go do all that stuff. You know, all the different position coaches and the places they get together and work out in the off season.
I was going to go out there and ask a question. I was going to go out there and say, Brian brought us 105.3 The Fan. And I go, I wanted to say that you're full of crap by the way you're going to practice.
I'm sorry, is that a question, sir?
No, I was going to. No, seriously, I was sitting here listening. I was like, should I walk out there and just throw out the, hey, I think you're full of crap the way you practice, not running the playing with 9-on-7. But you might be onto something. If you're going to run the first 10 plays of your team period and they're all going to be run plays with 11-on-11, you got my attention.
I do think when you're talking about implementing a new offense, that is clearly a lot of moving parts, and we're seeing the hiccups from time to time, that it makes plenty of sense that you would want to spend all the time in the world on refining that.
The pre-snap stuff. And Dak is doing a lot pre-snap. So GP is still in the locker room.
Okay. So let's just step aside. We'll float the sked.
On this next side, we get him over here.
Just tell him, just text GP right now and tell him that we have CY at 420, and it's MLB trade deadline week.
I did let him know. I said, GP, look, we do have CY at 420.
Either that or we'll ask him some embarrassing questions.
We cannot
questions.
Move that, so he'll get over here pronto.
I'm going to text him and say, GP, are you with me? Well, he probably would cancel the interview immediately.
Like, what the hell did you say?
Okay, I mean, I'm from the 90s. What can I say? We are back with George Pickens and some football content. CY's coming up at 420. We'll talk Rangers baseball and Cowboys football coming up next year in the nation.